Nicodemus was hoping for some answers. But Jesus' responses left him more confused and finally embarrassed by Jesus' concluding comment, "You are a teacher in Israel? How can you not know these things?" Ouch. Before we analyze Nicodemus's debate performance, why it went south immediately after his opening statement, let's give Nicodemus some credit. He could handle a little ambiguity, not much. To the observer, Jesus' miracles pointed clearly to God's kingdom. Yet Jesus' behavior pointed somewhere else, not to the kingdom of God. Respectable religious leaders just didn't hang out with sinners. Nicodemus wanted more information before deciding which box to put Jesus into. He deserves credit for going directly to Jesus rather than relying on echo chamber answers. And he deserves credit for admitting that he was stumped by Jesus' responses, rather than going along faking like he was understanding. Jesus' message to Nicodemus was pretty simple. The kingdom of God is about starting over, about being born anew, being born from above. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You can't get there from here, from where you are. You can't even see it from where you are." The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind of God's Spirit. You have to open yourselves to what cannot be seen or explained. If we claim to follow Jesus into the realities of God's kingdom, we too must go directly to the Jesus found in the Gospels. And that Jesus will say to us, "The answer, my friends, is blown in the fresh new winds of the Spirit. Your business as usual worldview prevents you from even seeing the kingdom of God. You need to start over. Be born anew. Be born from above." Jesus offers us new wine, but that new wine can't be contained in old wineskins. A man in his 50s, many, many years ago, thought he was being called to a pastor. For a long time, no one else in the congregation seemed to affirm that sense of calling. But he came up to me after a sermon on this text and said, "I've heard many a sermon about Nicodemus. This is the first time I realized that I could be Nicodemus. And that's making me very uncomfortable." I responded, "Sounds to me like the Spirit is at work." Brothers and sisters, who else is there for us to identify with in this story? If it's not Nicodemus, then who? If we picture ourselves in his sandals, perhaps we'll see that familiar summary of the good news in John 3:16 in new light. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish and may have eternal life." Eternal, in the church I grew up in, was all about the end, the afterlife. That's not what eternal means in this context. It means abundant life now that continues forever. And that first piece of it seemed to be lost. Believing in Jesus brings us abundant life now that lasts forever. This good news was standing right in front of Nicodemus, but he couldn't see it. Might we be capable of missing the good news standing right in front of us? Could it have something to do with our not embracing first the bad news? If there's no bad news, why do we need good news? I think Jesus is making that point by explaining the bad news so clearly in verses 19 through 21, after our reading ended this morning. Does anyone here like to hear bad news? We don't like to hear bad news. And we like to think that bad news is for bad people, not good people like us. We shouldn't have to hear bad news. Here's the bad news. The light has come into the world, and people who do evil things are judged guilty because they love the dark more than the light. People who do evil hate the light and won't come to the light because it clearly shows what they have done. But everyone who lives by the truth will come to the light because they want others to know that God is really the one doing what they do. I think that last sentence is really profound. But we'll probably miss it because we get turned off by that word sin and that word judged. And that word evil and all those things we don't like to think about. Everyone who lives by the truth will come to the light because they want others to know that God is really doing what they do. God is the one doing what they do. Now, some of us probably respond to Jesus, "Preach it, Jesus." Yes, those bad people out there prefer darkness. I can name a whole bunch of them. Thank God I'm not one of them. I'm enlightened. But I hear Jesus saying in this text to all of us, no one can handle the light with a capital L on their own. It's too bright. It reveals the wrinkles on our faces. It reveals the wrinkles on our clothes. But more importantly, the light with a capital L reveals all the proverbial wrinkles in our lives and the wrinkles in our plans. Brilliant light reveals all of our imperfections. And that makes us uncomfortable. At least it does me. We prefer darkness because in the darkness we can't see our own wrinkles. In the darkness others can't see our wrinkles. In the darkness we can pretend our wrinkles aren't there. Ever notice how your car is so much dirtier on a bright sunny day than it is on a cloudy day? In the light of Christ, the reality of our own unworthiness is exposed. And that's not a pleasant thought. Nicodemus' darkness of choice was self-righteousness. And according to Jesus, and throughout the Old Testament, the prophets kept saying self-righteousness is about as dark as it can get. There was a church leader many years ago who, to put it mildly, had created a lot of turmoil in the congregation for 30 years. I invited him to reflect on his life, hoping the conversation might lead to grace and forgiveness. It was going nowhere fast, so I pulled the marriage card. Certainly, in 50 years of marriage, you can recall at least one time when you said or did something that hurt your wife. And I'll always remember his expression as he looked up as if he was diligently searching through his memory and responded, "No, can't remember anything like that." In today's Old Testament reading, Abraham and Sarah were called by God to leave everything familiar behind and go to a land God would show them. What enabled them to be blown by fresh winds of the Spirit? I believe that in hearing God's call, they had an epiphany. It's no longer about us. It's about what God is doing, about what God wants to do through us. And that enabled them to respond in faith. In that realization, I believe they were born anew. They were born from above. They believed, and they were able to follow in complete faith. I believe we all have an area of darkness. It's the human condition to prefer darkness over light. The good news is that God sent Jesus to show us how to be fully human, how to become all that God intended us to become, all that we were created to be. That's the realization that it's not about us, but that God invites us to enter into what God is doing. That's like being born anew, born from above, a completely new reality. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Nick, you're a good person. You've kept the law. But that won't get you into the kingdom. Only God's Spirit can enlighten you to comprehend the reality of God's kingdom." A pastor once asked a recovering alcoholic why he stopped coming to church. "Preacher, after you've been to AA, taken the cure, stared your demons in the face, confessed to another person all the bad things you've ever done or thought, and asked God and that person to forgive you, well, church just seems like such a trivial waste of time." Addictions of any kind deceive us into thinking it's all about me. The only way to enter recovery from an addiction is to grasp it's not all about me. What prevents me from seeing the good news standing right in front of me? What am I powerless to overcome? A need to be in control? A need to know what's coming ahead? A need to be right, a need to do everything right, a need to set others straight, a need to appear like I have it together, or plain old fear? What is the darkness that prevents me from seeing the good news standing right in front of me? If I can't recognize my own darkness, it's likely a brother or sister who knows me well can name it. Again, that's the human condition for us to be able to see darkness in other people before we can recognize it in ourselves. claim Jesus offered to be born anew, born from above, to grasp that it's no longer about you and me. It's about what God is doing in our life, what God is doing throughout the world. And we will see the kingdom of God. John doesn't tell us in chapter 3 whether Nicodemus believed in Jesus. But if you want to cheat, you can look ahead to chapter 19, because Nicodemus, John answers that question in chapter 19. The church Jesus is building, I believe, is Sinners Anonymous, a place where all of Jesus' followers acknowledge that they are in recovery from sin. Our recovery from sin begins when we acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord, but we will always be a recovering sinner. We need each other to be able to stay in recovery for the rest of our lives. This is the church the world needs. A church where we follow Jesus' way, not because we're saints, not because we're good people, but because we're all sinners committed to staying in recovery. I have found it's amazing how sinners in recovery can identify and connect with sinners who are not yet in recovery. Join me in prayer. God, show us your loving, faithful presence. Help us to recognize our own darkness, which prevents us from fully experiencing the light of Christ. Amen.